Chapter 78. Upstairs in her sprawling master bathroom, Ambassador Nagel gripped the sides of the marble sink and threw up. The text that had just arrived from Donna was only four words. Michael Harris is dead. Horrified, the ambassador had immediately excused herself and called Donna, who fumbled her way through a tearful, frantic update. Apparently, Donna and her Marine escort had found Sasha's apartment unlocked. Kerbal had entered to ensure all was safe and was immediately confronted by a body on the hallway floor, Michael Harris's strangled corpse. No trace of Sasha Vesna or anyone else. Despite the waves of emotion Nagel felt, she kept her cool long enough to give orders for Kerbal to secure the apartment and call a forensics team to recover the body. And keep this quiet. The last thing Nagel needed was the press exploding with headlines of a consulate official's murder on foreign soil. Not today. Whatever had transpired in that apartment, her first order of business was her own employee, Michael. Nagel felt ill. His blood is on my hands. She stared into her bathroom mirror now, overwhelmed with guilt and regret, not just for Michael, but for everything that had occurred in the last 3 years since coming to Prague. Unlike so many ambassadors who attained their coveted appointments by having donated a small fortune to the winning presidential candidate, Heidi Nagel had simply been in the right place at the right time. Or the wrong place, as it turned out. Several years ago, during her tenure as general counsel for the CIA, an important file of classified documents had gone missing until an agency task force broke into her home and located the file buried in a desk drawer. Not surprisingly, Nagel was escorted to the top floor of Langley for a meeting with the agency overlord. CIA Director Gregory Judd was a former U.S. senator with a quiet and thoughtful demeanor, despite his reputation for total intolerance of anything short of perfection. CIA insiders said Judd knew where all the bodies were buried because he had buried many of them. Gross negligence or treason, the director demanded as she entered his office.
It was a careless mistake, sir, she replied truthfully. That file must have gotten mixed up with my work papers. I had no idea it was even in my possession.
The director studied her a long moment. I'm inclined to believe you, but obviously you can no longer continue as general counsel until we sort out how this could happen. I'm putting you on indefinite leave and handing this over to the IG for an inquiry.
Sir, I really effective immediately, he declared, his eyes unyielding.
This is a gift, Ms. Nagel, and I strongly suggest you accept it before I change my mind. A week later, Heidi Nagel was still at home, suffocating from boredom and professional limbo. Her children were long grown, and her post-divorce luxury condo was empty and depressing, although she'd never noticed until now because she'd spent most of her waking hours at work.
My life is over, she realized. I'm damaged goods.
At 63 years old, Nagel was too young and ambitious to retire, but too old to hang a shingle and start a law practice. She wondered what she was going to do with herself. Book groups? Online dating? It all sounded like hell. Then came a call she never expected. The director phoned 2 weeks later in a rare display of contrition. I feel bad about how this played out, Heidi, and I'm hoping to make it right. That's impossible, she thought. As you may know, Judd told her, the president-elect and I are old prep school chums. He called me this morning for guidance on staffing a few key appointments, including the U.S. ambassadorship to the Czech Republic. I told him that considering the growing unrest in the region, he needed an ambassador with solid knowledge of international law as well as experience in the intelligence community. In a word, you. Nagel was stunned. The old boy network is now recruiting old girls? The decision had been a no-brainer. 4 months later, press releases had been sent, and Heidi Nagel found herself living in Prague's spectacular ambassadorial residence, overseeing a talented embassy staff and doing meaningful work. Best of all, every time she caught a glimpse of the castle, she felt like she was living in a fairy tale. Then, in a single night, it had all changed. A month into her new post, Director Judd had called to check in, and after some small talk, he made an unusual request. "Heidi, I'd like you to dine with a colleague of mine who is now stationed in Europe." "Of course, sir," she said, feeling it was the least she could do for the man who had essentially saved her life. "Who is it?" "A new hire for the European office of InQtel." "Q," she thought, feeling a twinge of apprehension. She was no stranger to InQtel, or Q, as agency spooks called it, the secretive investment arm of the CIA. Their shadowy team of financiers took huge positions in technologies they deemed relevant to the CIA's interests and national security. Everything from biometricas and hydrobiosis mechanisms to Nanosys's microscopic electronics to D-wave quantum computing. More than once, as CIA counsel, Nagel had advised the director on legal issues related to InQtel's creative investment techniques and asset protection methods, but it was rare that the group was ever reined in. Why is someone from Q coming to Prague? Nagel was puzzled that a high-tech investment firm would be interested in Old World Prague. Their normal hunting ground was Silicon Valley. On the night of the meeting, Ambassador Nagel arrived early at her restaurant of choice, Coda, a discreet local establishment with superb Czech cuisine. To her surprise, her contact was already seated. He was a slight, formally dressed man, probably in his mid-70s, with a thick shock of silver hair. He was polishing his glasses as she approached the table. "Numbers guy," she decided. Nagel could not have been more wrong. This man turned out to be Everett Finch, the legendary longtime director of the CIA's Directorate of Science and Technology. Finch's team at DSNT, along with those of the other three directorates, administration, operations, and intelligence, made up the four pillars of the Central Intelligence Agency. They moved Finch to InQtel in Europe? The only logical explanation Nagel could imagine was that Director Judd had wanted Finch's expertise in Europe for some clandestine reason, and quietly stationed him here, under the radar. The waiter arrived, presenting them both with an amuse-bouche, two tiny teacups of a delicate Czech mushroom soup called kulajda. Mr. Finch drained his cup, touched a napkin to his lip, and then leaned across the table. "Heidi," he said, ignoring her formal title, "I trust you're enjoying your ambassadorship here." "I am," she replied, wary. "Excellent." He gave her a tight smile. "I believe it's time you knew the real reason you were placed in Prague." That night had marked the death of Nagel's wide-eyed naivete regarding the serendipitous events that brought her to Prague. My presence was orchestrated. The old boy network had placed a female pawn in a position of power where they needed her, and Nagel had been trapped ever since. She eventually learned what should have been obvious from the start, that Finch had engineered her dismissal from the CIA, planting the documents in her home. When Nagel angrily confronted him on the matter, his response was chilling. With no show of emotion whatsoever, Finch produced photocopies of the classified documents that she'd allegedly possessed in her home, informing her that if these copies ever surfaced in the hands of foreign operatives, her claims of an innocent mistake would immediately be considered treason. Nagel threatened to call CIA Director Judd, but Mr. Finch only encouraged it. telling her that both Judd and the president were briefed on the plan, and that a call to them would only confirm that she was playing in the big leagues with no allies.
I'm a puppet.
Finch might have been bluffing, but Nagel could not possibly risk calling the bluff of men like the U.S. president and the director of the CIA, especially when a treason charge hung in the balance, not to mention a top-secret intelligence project.
That's how people disappear.
From that moment on, Nagel had despised Finch and obeyed him. Now, standing alone at her bathroom sink, Ambassador Nagel rinsed her mouth out and stared into her own tired eyes.
Michael Harris is dead.
No more, she said aloud. Finch had pushed too hard, too far. For more than 2 years, Nagel had been looking for any way out of her prison. But Finch had never provided even the slightest opening.
Until now.